We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is KC Sports Network, proudly presented by M-Prize Bank.
What's up, everybody? This is 21 Questions here on KCSN. My name is Ben Heisler. You might know me from such other shows, such as Benny and the Bets, and the show that I was a part of with this gentleman and my good friend over on your left-hand side of the screen, longtime host in Kansas City of The Drive, Danny Parkin's show, and at one point was part of the iteration, and now he has been just crushing it over in Chicago, 670 The Score, our childhood station, co-host of Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score. He, honestly, dude, like I see you everywhere, and now you have a book out, Pipeline to the Pros, which we are going to talk about because I've gotten a chance to start reading it. I know your co-authors, your best friend from childhood. I guess question number one is, I know you to be a very motivated individual. You're somebody that I know writes down a lot of the things that you want to accomplish in your life. I don't know if writing a book on D3 basketball was on that list when you set out all of your lifehood goals that you wanted to accomplish by like age 37.
It definitely was not. Thank you for having me on and for that kind introduction. But you know, you alluded to a couple of things there. You know how close I am with Ben Kaplan.
I do.
I mean, he's family. You know, I mean, I was the best man in his wedding, and the only reason he wasn't the best man in my wedding was because I have a brother. So Brad was my best man. Best friend since third grade. And I also like other big projects that surprise people, including myself, like just like big challenges, right? So the Radiothon to build a grocery store on the west side of Chicago and broadcast for 24 hours and do the biggest philanthropic thing that The Score has ever done in its 30 plus year history, right? Like that was a lot of hours. And then we did it. It came out. It was massive. It made a difference. It felt good for me. And I proved to myself that we could do it. And now we've got the second Radiothon coming up this August for cancer research, right? So like I like other things. And Ben reached out to me. Ben played Division III basketball. He reached out to me and said, hey, can you get on the phone? I want to run something by you. And I honestly don't think we had ever spoken on the phone. Like, we always like hang out in person. We go to lunch. We go to dinner. He lives 10 minutes away. Our wives are close. Our kids are close. We text all the time. We go to games together. I'm not sure we've ever spoken on the phone. I'm like, okay. And he was like,
this is so relatable. Just from the sense of like my closest friends, when I see them, it's you pick up right where you left off. But I'm much more convinced that our wives talk far more often than we do.
100%. And again, like, we are in fairly constant communication,
right,
via text and group chats and whatever, but a phone call? Are you crazy?
I'm for this.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh man, this must be serious. And yeah, I mean, the quick pitch was, did you know that 12 of the 30 teams in the NBA either have a former D3 player as their head coach or their basketball top decision maker, GM or president of basketball operations? I said no. He said, well, I think there's a book in here, but no one would buy this from a data analyst. Do you want to partner up? And I said, well, a couple things. There would need to be star power attached to it, even if I attached to it. Like, And he's like, well, how about Sam Presti and Greg Popovich and Brad Stevens and Tom Thibodeau and Jeff Van Gundy? And I'm like, okay, that's star power. Amazing. And then the other thing was, as you know, my dad was in a pretty steep decline with Alzheimer's. My brother Brad had just been diagnosed with brain cancer, terminal brain cancer. And so I didn't know that I had like the capacity to take anything else on. But I was like, you know, I'll never get another opportunity to work with Ben, given that he's not in media. It's his dream project. I can help make my best friend's dream project come true. And it might be nice to have a distraction. So I agreed to the project. And then, tragically, Ben's dad got diagnosed with a rare form of cancer. So all three of them, both of our dads and my brother, passed away before the book came out last week. So it's dedicated to those we lost along the way. So it was like a nice way to connect with a friend, to be distracted by the hardship in our life, and to see if we could do it, which we did.
And all
and donating a portion of all proceeds to brain cancer research in honor of my brother, Brain Up, a great Chicago-based charity.
Yeah, and that's something that we'll talk about as well. I think what's so remarkable about the book, and particularly the people that you've referenced, and your dad and your brother and Ben's dad, these are all people that I've known too. Ben's dad was my first basketball coach. Like still would call him coach, even though I would bump in the streets in downtown Glencoe after not seeing him in 15 years and call him coach. Your dad always had an affinity for taking you to the biggest games. And you would reference this story a lot on the drive that if you were in a place, I think it was the All-Star game, tell me if I'm wrong, where even though you didn't have this section of the VIP entrance on your ticket, your dad always sort of led with the line, like, act like you've been here. And then you kind of would walk it. Like, I'm thinking about it from the perspective of him. If he had the opportunity to read the book, which section or interview or personality do you think he would have connected with the most?
That's interesting. That was walking like you own the place. We were supposed to go to one party for the All-Star game in 97 in Cleveland, walked into the one where the top 50 greatest players of all time were being hosted. And I was like, Dad, I was like 11 years old. I was like, Dad, we're not supposed to be here. That's Bill Russell. And he's just like, walk in like you own the place. Like, people like must have thought I was like Jerry West's nephew. Because I was wearing a Shaquille O'Neal Lakers jersey. And there's this hilarious picture of like the five greatest Celtics of all time. It's Bill Russell. It's, you know, it's Robert Parrish. It's Larry Bird. It's Havlicek. And me. In a Lakers jersey with Tom Parkins taking the picture. Totally absurd. I think Dad would have loved Hubie Brown, to like talking to him for 2 hours and 45 minutes and telling Oscar Robertson stories and just like the spanning of NBA history. And my dad could have a long winding road to get to the point of his story. And Hubie Brown and I talked for 2 hours and 45 minutes. But also, I mean, it's a really good question by you. Like, this book is about a bunch of people who got to places where they should not have gotten. And my dad, you know, in his day was like a pretty successful manager of people. And when we would play Scrabble, me and my dad against my mom and my two sisters, you know, boys against the girls in the house, he would spell socks, S-O-X. Like, he was like a public school, south side of Milwaukee, not great education, success story through like hustle, personality, networking, those sort of things. So I think he would have been proud of the idea of me writing a networking book.
How did the two of you balance? You mentioned that it was a bit of a distraction at a time that you needed, but I mean, shit, you and Steph have two young kids. Ben has young kids. I think he's got three of them, right?
Yeah, five kids, five and a half and under between the two of us, yeah.
Parenting is already hard enough. We were talking about that before we even started the show. Where did you find the time to balance it on top of everything else you were doing and still, like, I get the sense of commitment to it and wanting to do this, but at some point you just, like, did you run out of gas at any point? Did you feel like this is a great project? I just don't know if I can take this on right now.
Yeah. I mean, I almost said no to it. And I told Ben, like, I was like, listen, man, like, it's like loaning family money. People say it's a bad idea because it can come between you, you know? And so I was like, listen, I don't want to disappoint you. I don't want anything to like ever come between us. And he was like, Danny, he's like, listen, I think I could write the book just based on the research. you know, just based on the research. And I'm like, well, that's ridiculous. Like, we're not going to do that. Like, I'll be able to get big names. And so we, you know, he was like, you know, basically, like, give me what you can give me. But a huge part of it was the book would have never been sold through a publisher without me attached to it. Like, there would be no book without my media profile and all of that. And so, like, that part of the win was simply getting the book made. But then I got really into the project. You know, I was like, oh, damn, like, yeah, today I'm stressed and I've got this and that and the other thing. I'm like, but I've got a 45-minute block of time to talk to Shaka Smart. Like, that's kind of cool. Or Brad Stevens. Or Jeff Van Gundy. Or Frank Vogel. Or Mike Fratello. Or Phil Jackson. Or Jerry Colangelo. Like, it was so cool. You know what I mean? Like, I'm obsessed with the NBA. So, like, it was, were there times where I was like, damn, I'm trying to fit 25 hours of stuff into a 24-hour day? Absolutely. But these things were not things that I was not looking forward to when they came up on my schedule.
Before getting into any of the anecdotes from the book, in just whether it was conversations meant for the book or not, like, was there anything in particular from these guests that changed your perception about scouting for the NBA or for college basketball that maybe you had an intuition about before? And then once you had this conversation, your mindset completely changed about something.
So another good question. So, like, I feel like in baseball and football, because of the job that I do, right, sports talk radio, I have to be qualified, quote unquote, to talk about all of those sports. But obviously, I am not an expert on all of those sports, but, like, I kind of am, or an authority figure or whatever. But in football, I could be like, okay, that clock management mistake, head coach. That play call, offensive coordinator. These hitters are underperforming as a group, hitting coach. That bullpen decision, manager. The pitching staff underperforming or overperforming, pitching coach. In basketball, we don't do a good job of parsing who's good and who's bad. It's like, oh, it's a player's league. Whereas in these coaches, they have a big man coach and a shooting coach and an offensive coach and a defensive coach and then a shooting coach for big men and then an advanced scout. Like, there's two rows of coaches on an NBA bench, and the NBA coach is almost more CEO than coach. He's got to be a facilitator with the front office. He's got to manage his coaching staff. And so those, I don't think we do a good job collectively of saying, like, this is a good coach, this is a bad coach, because we literally don't know what they're doing. And because players are so, have so much impact in the NBA, we're often like, these coaches are along for the ride. And so I think I gained a little bit more of an understanding and appreciation for how to delineate blame, credit, success, failure behind the scenes in the NBA world. Hope that answered your question.
Yeah, no, that's really insightful, because to your point, there's a variety of coaches with names and tags attached to it. You know, it's probably, hockey is probably very similar in the sense to basketball, where you know the head coach and you really don't know anybody else. So the natural aspects of player progression and in dealing with those different aspects of the game aren't often discussed. And I think the individuality of the sport probably lends it to it as well.
Like, well, and these coaches, again, they're it's very much a, like, Billy Donovan takes the credit or the blame. You know, and he might sometimes deflect credit to players or whatever, but he's not going to be like, whew, that advanced scouting report that we had, that we've been in the works for 6 days, shout out to my dude, Ryan. That, right. You know, like, that's just not how it's run.
Right. Or if Kobe goes like 1-for-9 from three, he's going to be like, yeah, no, Kobe and Peter Patton had a terrible day and he's shaking off.
Yeah, not right. That's just not how it works. But so there's just like a lot of silent credit and blame in the NBA that I definitely had not given enough thought to.
All right, we'll sprinkle in some Discord questions coming up in a second. One of the characters, the profiles, and there's so many that you discuss, but you know, I'm thinking about the local connection with Sam Presti and with Bill Self, because obviously the two of them have been friends for a long time. Did Bill's name come up at all in your conversations with Sam? Because I know that a lot of KU folks have always talked about like whether Bill would ever make the jump, and maybe not now, but in years past, there was always sort of like, would he ever go to the NBA? And if it was, would either be in San Antonio with Pop or OKC with Presti? Did Bill's name ever come up at all in those conversations?
Well, so no, they didn't, but also over 100 back and forths with the Thunder. We have a big person who is a friend of the project who works in and around the Thunder. The Thunder bought 10 copies of the book. We interviewed roughly 15 to 20 people in and around Sam Presti's orbit, and he wouldn't speak to it. He wouldn't sit for the book. He's a Popovich disciple. They strung us along, but one of his ethoses is secrecy. And Presti's a crazy person. Like, I don't know if you saw, but Ben shared the Boston Globe letter to the editor that he wrote when he was 16. Like, that was a huge find. An ex-Emerson teammate shared the contract that he made all of his players sign before their senior year of college. Like, he's a very private guy. He's insanely competitive. He's insanely smart. But the secrecy denied us the opportunity, even though we know he's proud of it. And we know he's proud of his D3 roots and Emerson, and we know he's proud of the D3 guys that he's hired. And it's a positive, glowing thing about him, right? And he still wouldn't speak to it. So no, Self did not come up, but Presti wouldn't speak to it either. But honestly, it almost made it more interesting because we were able to write about the pursuit of Presti and how the secrecy of the Pop, like, there's the Popovich tree and the Van Gundy tree. And the Van Gundy is like, you know, we talked to Steve Clifford and Andy Greer and Stan Van Gundy and Jeff Van Gundy, like, all down the line. We talked to their dad. Like, and then on the Popovich side, it was like Bill Belichick. Like, first rule of Greg Popovich is you do not talk about Greg Popovich. Like, that's like what the guy at Pomona told us as to why he stayed so close with him over the years. So it was very interesting, the different approaches.
All right, there's some more that I want to ponder on with this book coming up on the other side. We'll also get into your Discord questions. My guy Danny Parkins is here. He's the co-author of Pipeline to the Pros, How D3 Small College Nobodies Rose to Rule the NBA. He's also a hell of a radio host, as you probably know as well. Take a quick break. We'll be back with some of your Discord questions. It's 21 questions here on KCSN.
We appreciate you supporting KC Sports Network by listening to our podcast. You have helped us become the highest-ranked Chiefs podcast network in 2022 and 2023. And don't forget about our daily Substack newsletter, the best written analysis you can find on the Chiefs straight to your inbox every day. KCSN.substack.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. It's 21 Questions. He's Danny Parkins. I'm Ben Heisler. Appreciate you guys being here with us. Let's get into the community chatter, Parkins. We always used to have that segment at the end of our shows where we would give out a little Ask Me Anything. I know it's something that you guys still do from time to time over in Chicago. Draft is this week. There's plenty that you've certainly received on this topic already. I know you have your Caleb Williams takes lined up for days. But the first question that came in was, how much of a bummer was it for you that the Chiefs became this good after you left radio in Kansas City?
Yeah, I get that all the time. I mean, I'm thrilled for Kansas City Chiefs fans and Kansas Cityans and my family and you guys. And you know what I mean? Like, my mom's family's from there, right? So, like, would it have been awesome to cover it and to be up close and personal for it and to interview Mahomes every week like Carrington does? Like, you know, of course. But this is just something that I think that people who aren't in the industry, like, don't fully get. Like, I would have left knowing all of it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, hey, you're going to leave in January of 2017, and in April of 2017, the Bears are going to draft Trubisky and the Chiefs are going to draft Mahomes, and Mahomes is going to win 3 Super Bowls. And the Bears are going to, you know, have 3 more, you know, swings at a franchise quarterback in the next 7 years. I would have been on the first flight to Chicago. Like, Chicago was home.
World could have been Shohei Ohtani, and you would have been like, no, I'm going to Chicago.
Yeah, like, and for personal reasons, like, this is where I'm from.
Right.
These are the teams I care about. These are my friends. This is where my parents lived. You know what I mean? Like, my dad was obviously still alive, but had been diagnosed with dementia. Like, my brother was in the area. He's since passed away. My little sister is here. But it's like personal reasons. But also, I make a lot more money now. I'm not trying to be a jerk. But
oh, it's very much true. It's the politics of the industry.
Like life is a lot more expensive here. Yeah. You know what I mean? So don't get it twisted. Like, there's definitely, like, I was offered a decent amount of money and would have had a very nice life in Kansas City. But sports talk radio, it is shrinking in relevance, and so you want to get the biggest job with the most relevance and the most money possible, because that job will stick around the longest. This is a, you know, there aren't 5 radio stations, sports radio stations in the country that are bigger than the one that I do afternoon drive on, you know? So professionally, the national exposure, the money, the childhood dream aspect of it, like, the teams matter, but it was not that was 4 or 5 or 6 items down the priority list. Like, it was a complete no-brainer to leave when I got the job offer. But I'm thrilled for Kansas City. Like, those two things can coexist, and to me are not in conflict at all.
You mentioned this a little bit earlier about the impact of the radiothon and helping to at least try to change the perception about Chicago through the What About Chicago radiothon and raising money to help out the food desert area within the city. And there were a lot, like, Roger Goodell came on and Sam Atra was a big part of it. Maybe this is already that answer, but this is from Wheezy the Juice on Discord. He said, what are you most proud of since you've returned to Chicago? And what are you most proud of from your time in Kansas City?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to top the radiothon professionally and just doing it, you know? Again, like, the act of getting it done, getting 24 hours of programming time on that station turned over. That means the morning drive show does not get to do their show. The midday show does not get to do their show. Like, I host the whole thing. They are on for their shows, but we're doing a radiothon together for a common good. And, like, those guys were awesome and it was amazing. But, like, there's a lot that goes into that. And then I would just say, like, you know, I've been dealt a pretty tough hand the last few years. And, like, doing the job while dealing with all of that, you know, I'm proud of too.
Sure.
You know, like that was, it was not easy to get no sleep overnight with new kids and then go see your brother at his bedside and then drive in and like come up with a take on the Bears offensive line. You know what I mean? Like these were like long, hard days, and still are in some ways. But so yeah, those two things. And then Kansas City, you know, I'm really proud that our show made an impact, right? Like Nick Wright is the most talented dude to ever do it there, and one of the most talented dudes to ever do it anywhere, but he was from Kansas City. So while Carrington is from Kansas City, like you and I are not, my mom's family is from Kansas City, but for us to like do a show that beat the established station consistently and be as embraced as we are and were, and to still be talked about, and for me to still get messages and like all that sort of thing, like to like people, some people will associate you, me, and Carrington in that show with the 2014 and 2015 Royals, and you and I were open Cubs fans. You know what I mean? Like that accomplishment of like, yeah, these guys aren't from here, but they are Kansas Cityans. Like they are dating Kansas City girls. They are going out to Kelly's and popping champagne. They are tailgating at Arrowhead. They are, you know what I mean? Like we were not stopping over in Kansas City. So we were Kansas Cityans and we were embraced by the community and people embraced us back. I think that part of it is the thing I'm most proud of. Because it would have been very easy for people to be like, ah, screw those guys. They're Chicagoans. But I think because of how we handled it, we weren't.
I think that's part of the reason why, maybe not specifically from the radio side, but just sort of the overall embracement is part of the reason I'm still here. Like, yeah, I met my wife, grew up in Overland Park, and like now we have a family and our kids go to school in the district. Like, but people, the sense that I've gotten from being here now more than 10 years, which is nuts, is Kansas Cityans want you to see the city kind of through their eyes. And so oftentimes there's a bit of hesitancy to change, but when they see the change, they finally embrace it. And if they find somebody who's not from there, who recognizes the beauty within the city, who has that same kind of passion for their teams as they do, who just wants to buy in and have that shared vision, then you're a Kansas Cityan for life. And I never forgot that. And it's part of the reason why like I'm thrilled that I'm still here.
Yeah, man. Like, listen, I Steph had a great job. I had a great job. If I would have stayed, you know what I mean? We would have been very big fish in that city and had a great life, you know? There's things I miss about it. Kansas City is great. Kansas City is great. And that's the other reason. Like, now they got an awesome airport and Mahomes is there and they host the draft and like, you know what I mean? Like
World Cup's coming. Yeah, it's cool to talk about the city that you're in on the map, which you never really had to worry about from a Chicago lens. And even to your point too, like, yeah, being big fish in Kansas City would have been great, but we both had higher aspirations from our career, not necessarily from the city, but from our career. You wanted to be in Chicago with the market, with your family. For me, I wanted to do more than be an executive producer. I wanted to expand my horizons. It took a couple different areas to get outside that realm and do some writing and some editing. And now not necessarily working in that space full time to find areas that really connected with me. So I think there was going to be that inevitable end anyway. It wasn't as if I don't know how, what level or amount of money they would have said, keep the drive together forever. It would have been an easier conversation, but I think at some point it would have come to its rightful conclusion. And I think
it would have had to have been a lot of money.
Well, yeah, a lot of money, but we also know what they were going to offer.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. Like it was not, you know, Nick left. Nick is from Kansas City. Nick makes, you know, he's a television star.
Yeah.
He gets recognized in every country that he travels to, you know what I mean? That was never going to happen if he would have stayed doing afternoons in Kansas City, right? Like, but we love it.
he's a Kansas City and he rocks out for it on TV. Like I always speak positively of KC. I love KC. I go back two or three times a year.
When somebody asks you like to tell your favorite memory or story from the show, does one, there's so many, does one come to mind like from like a anecdotal, like, all right, you guys will enjoy this story?
Oh, I mean, there's so many. Yeah, but
and that's from Cher's Chief, by the way, on Discord.
So this is a small, like, so like people like, you know, you hanging up on Jason Lock and Fora, people loved that one. Us going to the Super Bowl and the suits and sneakers party and the murder at the hotel and you have to protect the talent. Like that was epic. One that just came up that I hadn't thought about in a long time because Matt Spiegel, my co-host here, is like actually like legitimate friends with Joe Buck. They met during the 2016 World Series, and so like they stay in touch and Buck comes on the show and whatever. For the 2015 World Series, Buck came by our show before game one of the World Series. And I was able
book for me. I remember that.
It was a great book, but I remember like he like walked through the stadium because like he like walked through like the inside of the stadium and came out and came in person and the whole thing. It was a great book. It was awesome. And then I was able to show him on my phone the cartoon from the 2014 World Series of there were eight urinals and Madison Bumgarner was at the seventh urinal and Joe Buck walking down past all of the urinals to choose the sixth urinal next to Madison Bumgarner, that Royals fans were so mad at him for playing favoritism in their mind, which was completely ridiculous, about Bumgarner in 2014 and him thinking it was hilarious, but Royals fans loving that I showed it to him and then him being like self-deprecating about it in front of a crowd of Kansas Citians. Like that was amazing. I mean, Sung Woo, dude, a 30 for 30 short was made about a Royals fan from South Korea who like we had like a small part in making it huge. And then we gave him all the tickets to when he came in town. And like, yeah, there was a lot, man. There was a lot. So those are just a few, but that was a blast. It was an absolute blast. Hell, Josh Vernier got married off the dating game.
The one successful dating game where...
And what did you run? They got married. We have a higher clip of people getting married off of our Drive dating game than any dating show ever. Like, we're more successful than the... We did like four of them, and one person got married. That's one way better odds than The Bachelor.
It's significantly higher. I went on like a handful of dates with the person that I ended up matching with. And ironically,
we did it with a Sporting KC player. We did it with you. We did it with Carrington. We did it with Vernier.
Yeah. And I think
he got married.
Vernier got married. And ironically enough, the only person that didn't end up having some sort of success from that show was Carrington. In fact, it was like, was it one of your friends or one of Steph's friends that ended up hooking up with the girl that Carrington matched with?
Yeah, we don't need to get into all that.
Okay.
That happened. Carrington's date ended up with one of Steph's like guy friends who was in from out of town visiting. And not him. That was at Carrington's like charity event. That was a tough night.
By the way, I don't know if I ever told you this, or I don't know if I've ever talked about this publicly, but when I went on my first date with Elena, she brought up the over-unders that you and Carrington said on the amount of ass that I would pull on Birthright.
Awesome.
I mean, it worked out. Like, we're together, we have kids, we're happy, but She had heard about it, I think, through a couple other friends, and I think we're midway through dinner. She's like, so it sounded like you had some of those unders. I was like, oh,
man, that's hilarious. I forgot that happened. That's obviously not the terminology that I would use today in this current climate to discuss any of those sort of things. But Birthright was crazy, man. Birthright was basically just like let's get a bunch of Jews together, pay for everything.
Yep.
And then incentivize you to get married in Israel and have basically no supervision and a ton of booze.
Yeah.
Like, I've never done better with women than I did on Birthright in like a 2 week period. That was a blast.
It was a good time. I think the over unders got into my head.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did. You're also a much nicer guy than I am.
Well, again, beside the point, and maybe another story for another time. Look, I do. There are actually a lot of Discord questions, actually, on the Bears. So let's try and go through these relatively quickly. Over under 8.5 wins for the Bears.
Over.
Oh,
over.
Would you go?
I mean, they finished strong. They won 7 last year. They added Keenan Allen. They upgraded significantly at quarterback.
Yeah.
The schedule is easy, at least on paper. Obviously, that can always change, but. But yeah, they are a screaming over team. I will be surprised and disappointed if they do not win 9 or 10 games this year.
I like the over too. I think there is an opportunity for them to start a bit slow with getting everybody to gel together offensively. So if I were going to bet it, I'd probably wait a couple weeks and try and get it at a better line. But if you're asking right now, I agree with you. Do you expect, not necessarily who you would take, but do you expect it to be Jaden Daniels or Drake May at number 2?
I would take Drake May. It should be Drake May. It sounds like it's going to be Jaden Daniels, but the odds have been moving around a little bit. I think that Jaden Daniels is good and impressive, obviously, but he had Brian Thomas Jr. and Malik Nabers, and Drake May, people are like, oh, he's got some like footwork stuff to clean up. And so did Josh Allen and Justin Herbert. Guy can throw the ball over the mountain. And, like, brothers are athletes, youngest brother, athletic family, good kid, overachieved. I think Drake May has a lot of traits that I would be comfortable investing in if I was a NFL team.
Have you made any NFL draft bets yet? And if so, which stands out most to you?
I don't think that Byron Murphy at 9 is a bad bet. Like,
The odds reflect that.
I'm rooting for it to be offense, but Byron Murphy at 9 is a good bet. And I think that under 6.5 receivers in the first round is also a good bet. I think people got a little out over their skis saying there were going to be 8 receivers taken in the first round. And the juices says it's more likely to be under than over. But
yes.
I think under 6.5 receivers in the first round is pretty safe.
I'll have a video coming out for a little shameless plug for Benny and the Bets. And you'll see it across some of our Chiefs shows. But the guy, if it's not Adunze for the Bears at 9, one of the bets that I took about a week or so ago was Jared Verse. That's a name that's been continuing to move up. There's a lot of steam with him. I think there's really good value for the Chiefs to take a corner because there has been situations where Veach has taken the first round corner before, and it is a position of need with Snead gone. And I think there'll be value there. And the rest you can find out a little bit later on KCSN through our NFL draft coverage. So stay tuned for that. What position would you bet for the Chiefs to take? Do you like a receiver? Do you like somebody on the offensive line? Are you with me on corner? Where do you see them going?
You know, I think that protecting Mahomes is never a bad bet. They obviously will just take best player available at one of those 3 positions. You know, losing Snead is what it is. So receiver, it depends if Xavier Worthy fell, I think they would take him and try to recreate some of the Tyreek Hill magic. So I think Xavier Worthy would be the guy that feels like a Chiefs pick to me if he somehow fell. But I would probably go offensive line, corner, receiver with like a Xavier Worthy caveat.
Got it. I think that's fair. Worthy is a really interesting name. Ladd McConkey is actually, I think, a name that they would really consider as well.
Do you think they would take him over Worthy if both were available, though?
No,
I agree. Like, that would be a very fun fit also and probably a little safer, but I just feel like Worthy's home run upside is a little bit.
And they're typically more willing to invest in the home run level talents.
Yeah.
And expect that their player development side will work out. So yeah, if Worthy's there, I think they'll be intrigued. I don't know if they'll, I don't think they would move up to take Worthy. I'll say that.
No, I don't think so either. They shouldn't. They should not. They need to throw, you know, they need as many young players on rookie contracts as they can. They should not, they are not a trade up team right now. I agree.
This is a good one from Christian. What's one realistic change you'd make to the NFL draft to make it a better television product for viewers?
No draft.
Just everybody's a free agent and then let a frenzy begin?
Yeah, it'd be awesome. I mean, that's not a small change and it's probably not realistic, but like teams should have to, because people are like, oh, everybody would go to the Cowboys. No, they wouldn't. Like,
they would go where they can get the most money.
Well, yeah, and they can only have one quarterback, you know, so guys are going to want to play. And so the ability to like hit like, and if you still did like a cap, like a rookie wage scale thing, like where you'd have to, you could trade rookie dollars and that sort of thing. I think it'd be fascinating, and it'd be awesome if like Caleb Williams had to announce his three finalists, and then he walks across the stage and there are three hats, you know what I mean? Like Bears, Commanders, and Raiders, and he picks up the hat and puts it on, and that's who the number one pick in the draft is. That'd be incredible theater.
Be great
as long as they do it after this year so that the Bears can get Caleb Williams.
Yeah, totally fine. Change the rules around. And I also think too, like we give athletes a hard time for choosing the most money over the best situation, which I don't think is fair because it's a very limited time that you have to play. In football, they would absolutely chase the money because of the longevity of a career playing in football. So
a lot of them would. Yeah, a lot of them would, and it would like, I think it's more fair, you know. If you're the top engineering student, you get to choose between Apple and NVIDIA and Google and Amazon. You don't just get drafted to Hewlett Packard.
It's true.
Hewlett Packard felt like a funny one to choose there. I don't know why.
Hewlett Packard over Dell, I think from a humor standpoint. It's like
it's like the Seinfeld thing, like with the periodic table of elements, like boron just is funny.
I think I know the answer to this question, but naturally it's going to come up from Lee87. Your go-to barbecue whenever you're back in town.
Jack Stack. We had our rehearsal dinner at Jack Stack. The lamb ribs is the best entree in Kansas City that nobody gets. I don't get it why it's not more popular. It's so good.
That's interesting.
Lamb ribs and cheesy corn, baby.
Yeah. And then you're like on the toilet for the next 5 hours.
I'm fine. I got an iron stomach. My mother-in-law sends me lamb ribs and cheesy corn every year for my birthday.
That's
it's incredible.
Yeah. I'm going to have to think twice about someone sending me, you know, frozen loos in the mail. When I could just go locally and just pick up some lamb ribs. That's a really good call. All right, I got two more for you. And I appreciate you doing this. And I'm excited about the success of the book. It's already been listed as an Amazon bestseller. I've gotten a chance to start going through it once I got the book last week. You know, we always did impressions on the show. I know that I was known for a handful of them. Now that you're this bigwig radio host in Chicago, who has done the best Danny Parkins impression to you or that you have heard?
I mean, Mark Grody's is pretty good. Mark Grody's the best impressionist at The Score, and so you know, I have a tendency, I can hyperanalyze things from all angles, and then obviously I've got a baritone voice, so he'll be like, Pipeline of the Pros, it's got all the D3 guys that you could possibly want. You basically, all you need to know is that it's about coaches and GMs and Amherst and Williams and Middlebury and Pomona and on and on and on. And these guys got in, and once they got in, they succeeded through hard work and determination. It's pretty good.
That's very, very good. His Harry Carey, I still contend, is the best one that I have heard amongst a sea of Harry Carey impressions.
Yeah, Grody's very talented. He's very good.
Very, very talented. And someone that I've had a chance to know for a long time. Really, really good dude in the industry. Last thing, you brought this up before. I know how much the impact of the proceeds from this book mean to you because of what's going back towards brain cancer research. So for anybody that does purchase a copy of the book, and you can get it, whether you want to buy it locally here in Kansas City, or if you want to buy it on Amazon or elsewhere, if you can just kind of shed a little bit more light on what you've learned through Brad's battle with brain cancer and why, I know the why, but where that money and where that research is going and how it's going to impact people who have actually been dealing with brain cancer and what that fight is like.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, listen, glioblastoma was a brutal one, right? It is terminal brain cancer. That's exactly what it's out. That's exactly what it is. And brain cancer is a really tough one because you can't do a replacement. You know, we can't take out your brain and give you a new one. You can only cut so much of it without people like, well, it's not worth it. You'll go blind or you'll lose your speech or you'll be a vegetable or, you know what I mean? Whatever the case may be. So it's like they do operate on it, but it's very difficult and part of it's luck. So it's a tricky one. And then while a lot of people get brain cancer, way more people get lung cancer or breast cancer and things like that. So federally, it's underfunded because they're like, well, it's a tough one to solve and it doesn't affect as many people as the bigger ones. So, and that's even with President Biden being in office, his son, Bo Biden, dying of glioblastoma, which is what Brad had, and him having the Bo Biden Foundation and him doing the Cancer Moonshot Initiative to try to end cancer. Like, you know, John McCain, like high profile people have died of glioblastoma. But it's a hard solve. So in order to like make up the gap of what it needs to hopefully have some breakthroughs happen to even just like improve the diagnosis, prolong quality of life. I mean, we're a long way from cure, but to make it a chronic condition that you could live with would be a massive win. And it's the type of thing that seems like it is very likely going to need to come through private philanthropy for these research grants. So what BrainUp does is I was asked to join the board of directors and we have a medical advisory board, and because obviously we're not qualified. And so, you know, we raise the money and then the 7 Chicago area hospitals that are doing brain cancer research submit research grants, and we put those research grants in front of our medical advisory board and they tell us which ones seem to have the most use that would advance and move the science forward the most, and then we fund them. So that's what we do.
It's amazing work. And I think about Brad's battle just from an outside perspective. When he got the diagnosis, the diagnosis was months and he lasted more than several years with it. So he fought his ass off, and I know how much of an inspiration he is to you. He's an inspiration to a lot of people and just a wonderful, wonderful dude. And it's great to see that even through this, when he can't be here to enjoy this book, that every book sold is an endearment to him and to his legacy. So I'm proud of you, man. I'm proud of you for this book. I'm proud of you for everything that you've done. And I'm grateful for our friendship. So I appreciate you doing this today, man. It's good to see you.
Good to see you too, Heiss. I'm proud of you. I love you. I appreciate you having me on and this and our friendship and all of it. Even though you sold out
I did.
You sold out. You know why you sold out, though? Because you're smart. And now you're happy.
I sold out because of this. Like, I have a house now, Daddy.
Oh, I know. I know. Trust me. When the media industry collapses under the weight of one more sports gambling scandal, I'll be selling out as well. I'll be calling you for a reference.
You got it. And you know what? This gig is still really fun. So.
No, you're killing it, man. I'm just messing with you.
Pipeline of the Pros, buy it. Proceeds from it go towards brain cancer research. Danny Parkins, my friend and yours. Appreciate it, bud. Good to see you. Thanks for listening to 21 Questions, everybody. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all six of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.